Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
There's a lot of PR that goes on to make it look like it's a very, you know, successful, expanding organization. And, you know, I wish that was true. I do, because I believe in the philosophy. I want it to do well. But there's things they don't know about. There's things that are, you know, there's abuse at the top of the organization by David Miscavige that they don't actually know about. And they're not being allowed to see that because, you know, that wouldn't be what's wanted.
That's an excerpt from NBC's Today Show this morning featuring Christy King Colbran, a former staff member of an elite group in the Church of Scientology called the Sea Organization. She says at least the Sea Organization has a lot of corruption going on in it. We're going to be talking about the Church of Scientology, how it influences its members, how it keeps its members, and why some have left, and what is the Sea Organization. Joining us to talk about the Church of Scientology, Karen Pressley. She's a former Scientologist. She was a commanding officer of Scientology's Celebrity Center International Network and later worked at the Church of Scientology International Management Headquarters. She's author of the books Escaping Scientology, An Insider's True Story, and Chasing After the Wind. She's founder of Wings of Love Ministries based in Atlanta. Karen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's great to be back with you.
King Colbran isn't trying to leave Scientology. She's trying to get out of the Sea Organization. I'll come back to that in a moment. How hard is it to leave Scientology altogether?
Well, you know, if you're a regular parishioner or customer of Scientology, you can choose to leave, and you have to go through a particular process to get out. But if you're an employee of the organization, such as like Christy was and like I was, we were members of the Sea Organization, it's really, really difficult to get out. You can't just go to the officials and say, sorry, I've changed my mind, I no longer want to work here. You have to get their permission. You're sequestered from your spouse. You're not allowed to speak to other people. You have to go through really in-depth interrogations. It's a really heavy, negative, traumatic process to try to get out.
So
I did it myself.
Tell me about your experience.
Well, when I wanted to leave, I spoke to my husband, Peter Schless, about leaving, and he really did not want to leave, so I literally had to escape, because if you announce that you want to leave, then you have to, like I said, you have to be separated, you're sequestered, you have to go through all these interrogations. So I took it upon myself to leave, but I had to literally escape. That's what I wrote one of my books about, Escaping Scientology. I actually tried to sort of mend my broken relationship with Scientology by going back to Los Angeles after I left the third time, and went through 4 weeks of interrogation, and I realized that they really had no intentions to let me go. They were just trying to coerce me and break me down to try to get to stay. So I just had to take it upon myself to leave. There's a lot more to the story, but I could talk for hours about that. It's when you're part of a totalitarian group like that, I liken it to somebody who's involved in a gang or organized crime. Once you no longer want to be a part of the group, you can't just walk away. They come after you. They put tracking people on you. They watch you. It's a nightmare.
With about 30 seconds before we take a break, in a nutshell, what is Sea Org?
Sea Org is the elite management core of Scientology. It's based on a naval description, because L. Ron Hubbard created this group on the ship that he operated Scientology from. But it's the elite group of Scientologists. They're the managers. They're in charge of maintaining Scientology around the world.
Well, when we come back, we'll find out more about Sea Org, the Church of Scientology. Karen Pressley is our guest, a former Scientologist. I invite your questions and your comments on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 9th. We are coming to you live. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us with questions or comments at @IssuesETC. We're talking about the Church of Scientology. Karen Pressley is our guest. She was a commanding officer of Scientology's Celebrity Center International Network and later worked at the Church of Scientology International Management Headquarters. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. More with Karen Pressley after this.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A jolt to abortion supporters.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony list, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Robert McCartney, columnist for the Washington Post, wrote an intriguing article about the National March for Life rally in January. McCartney, who is pro-choice, attended the rally expecting to see a dying movement. With the Roe decision over a generation old and with abortion advocates ruling Washington, McCartney expected to see old diehards at the rally. Instead, what he found astonished him. Half the crowd, he said, were under 30 years of age and were optimistic that Roe v. Wade will be overturned soon. McCartney said it was then that he realized the momentum is on the pro-life side.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Church of Scientology. Karen Pressley, former Scientologist, is our guest. Karen, before the break, you were talking about how difficult it is to extract oneself from Scientology, especially after one has risen to a certain level in the organization.
Right.
Why do they make it so hard to leave? If I'm working at Boeing or at some other Fortune 500 company, a multinational company, no matter how powerful they are, if I say I want to leave, they usually just say, all right, there's the door.
Well, I would assume that that organization is not totalitarian like Scientology is. One thing that a lot of people don't know about Scientology is that it's all about control. And the management of Scientology attempts to control every single aspect of their staff's lives. When I was in Scientology, I could not have a telephone in my room. I could not own a cell phone. We could not access the internet. We could not own a personal computer. And we could not have a television. We were under 24/7 security watch. And we could not receive mail directly. We also could not receive phone calls from family and friends who called in. Everything was monitored by security. So when I say totalitarian, I mean that to the nth degree. So just as they control every aspect of your life, they also control whether you come and go, whether you're a member or not. So when you try to get out, they control they try to control every aspect of it. And think of it this way, when people leave Scientology, of course, they're going to have access to the internet. They'll see what they've been prevented from seeing for so many years during their membership. They'll read the truth about Scientology, and they'll speak to others about their experiences. And that's why you have so many people right now speaking in the media, like Christy Culbrand that was interviewed by the New York Times and the Today Show. Myself, there's been five new books that have come out by people who have written their own personal story and self-published their book, because people are now free to communicate about the abuses of Scientology.
Culbrand talked about on NBC this morning abuses in Sea Org. She didn't have a lot of criticism of the Church of Scientology, but for Sea Org, she talked about abuses. What kind of abuses did you witness? I mean, other than the fact that they wouldn't let you leave.
Well, I witnessed a lot of abuse. It's actually difficult to talk about, and I had nightmares about it for almost 10 years afterwards. People were coerced into getting abortions. I saw Scientology leaders physically abuse other Scientology staff and other Scientology executives, and that goes from anything to punching to pushing up against the wall to slapping in the head and face, even throwing people overboard into the lake, and worse, far worse. Those were physical abuses. There were lots and lots of verbal abuse, screaming, profanity, just totally shredding people verbally with invalidative words and criticisms. So verbal abuse, physical abuse, human rights abuse. I've seen women stood on tables and criticized for the way they walk because they protrude their breasts and distract men. I've seen David Miscavige criticize women for that. The list goes on. That's partly what I'm covering in my book, Escaping Scientology, is these abuses. And as a matter of fact, there's an important lawsuit that's going to trial in November of 2010 that was filed by Mark and Claire Headley that delineates a lot of abuses that are covered in their lawsuit. Another abuse is labor laws. We were paid $45 to $50 a week, and we weren't even paid every week. I mean, this is a joke. That comes out to about 39 cents an hour. The list goes on. And the Scientology leaders and the spokespeople, they're totally in denial about these abuses. They deny everything.
Why coerced abortions?
Because the staff members in the Sea Org are told that their jobs for, you know, trying to clear the planet, which is the goal of Scientology, they're told that their jobs are more important than anything. And so to want to have a family, want to have children with your husband, they're told is a far less important function of your life. And if you want to have children, you're considered to be a traitor to the Sea Org. And so they basically shame you into getting an abortion because they make you feel guilty about violating your allegiance to the Sea Org for wanting to go have children instead of being willing to work 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for the Sea Org.
The public face of Scientology are its celebrities. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I've watched the YouTube videos of Tom Cruise talk about Scientology, and it, to be quite frank with you, Karen, it just creeps me out.
Yeah, and a lot of people out.
I mean, even from someone who is as obviously driven and high strung as Tom Cruise is personally, there's a very strange attitude that is instilled in these people. Is he typical? He's rich. He's famous. He travels the world. He does what he wants. Is he typical of the average Scientologist?
Well, he's possibly typical of the average celebrity Scientologist. I mean, there's a big gap in classes between the celebrity members and the staff members. The staff members are absolutely broke, and these are the slaves for Scientology. They run the organizations, and they deliver service to the celebrities on a silver platter. Of course, the celebrities are free to live their own lives and pursue their careers and make their fortunes, and they're free to come and go. They go into Scientology organizations for their counseling and their classes. And the staff work, like I said, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's a big gap in reality between the two. But his lifestyle is, like I said, typical of a celebrity Scientologist.
So is the goal to clear the planet or to clear the bank accounts of the celebrities?
I would say the second one. The Miscavige, ever since Miscavige has come into power, since L. Ron Hubbard died in 1986, Miscavige has been totally on a campaign to, you know, bring more celebrities into Scientology because he's all about image. Miscavige is like a master of PR smoke and mirrors, and he uses celebrity spokespeople to as a focus point for trying to popularize Scientology because of the connection to celebrity names. But what he does is he covers up, you know, all the facts about Scientology, such as that Scientology is actually dwindling, members are leaving in the droves. The staff of the Sea Org is dwindling in terms of size. When I worked for the management of Scientology, there were 800 people that worked there. Now there is about 200. So his people are leaving, his executives are leaving, and the organizations are emptying out. But he keeps trying to make Scientology look good by, you know, promoting this celebrity is doing this and this celebrity is in Scientology. But in the same time, you know, it's a revolving door. There's lots of celebrities leaving as well.
When you got involved in it, did you have any idea what you were getting yourself in for? About a minute here.
You know, I really didn't. I thought that Scientology really interested me. I did not have a religion at the time, and I thought that it was really a great self-help technique because my husband and I were really, you know, we moved to Hollywood to make it in our careers, so we thought it would help us in that sense. But once I got involved, I realized that Scientology is all about self-knowledge, self-power, self-control, but really it's about Scientology controlling you, and it's utterly an illusion that you can be in control of your life. What Scientology actually does is Scientology controls you, and it also empties your pocketbook. Even Paul Haggis, the celebrity that just left, talked about how, you know, he spent millions in Scientology, and that is typical. And that's why the average person can't afford Scientology. Only celebrities can.
What do defectors like Christy King Colburn face in the future? 30 seconds.
She probably faces disconnection from her family. Her parents will probably disconnect from her and deny their relationship. I understand that she's getting a divorce from her husband, and she's probably going to be shunned by all of her friends from Scientology. So she will basically have to start life over again.
Karen Pressley is a former Scientologist. She was a commanding officer of Scientology's Celebrity Center International Network and later worked at the Church of Scientology International Management Headquarters. She's author of the books Escaping Scientology, An Insider's True Story, and Chasing After the Wind. She's founder of Wings of Love Ministries based in Atlanta. And we'll post a link to her website under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Karen, thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Great to be with you.
It shows that no matter what other religion it is, Scientology is an extreme case. But every other religion, except for Christianity, ends up being this kind of tyranny, a tyranny of the mind, a tyranny of a morality, a tyranny of one man over another, a tyranny of an imaginary God over you. Christ did not come to bring tyranny. He came to serve us, those who hated him, his very enemies. He came to serve us with his entire life and to lay it down as a sacrifice for those who turned up their nose at everything he came to bring and to save us by serving us and giving his life as a ransom for us sinners. There's the difference. When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. We'll talk about proposed divorce legislation in Oklahoma. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.